Hello everyone, and welcome to the most illuminated game dev podcast in the world, House of Games. Today we're four creatures from three different realms. First up, from the realm of Sweden, Otto! And from the realm of Japan, me! And last but not least, two more creatures from the realm of the Netherlands, Mark and Keon. So, let's open a portal and enter this week's episode of House of Games.
Welcome everyone to the House of Games, and especially welcome to our two guests, Mark and Kian. Would you like to introduce yourselves and what you do and perhaps the games you've done and what's coming up next?
I'm Mark from Utrecht, the Netherlands, and I'm in a game band company thing with my friend Kian called Bonte Avond, which is two musicians who make games. Right, Kian?
Yeah, and I'm Kian, also here in Utrecht in the Netherlands. And yeah, we are two musicians
who make games. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's true.
We recently released a game called Once Upon a Jester. And we also have another game called Everybody Wham Wham,
which is about making snowmen.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very good. First of all, I'm curious about the name of your studio. Does that mean anything in Dutch, or is it just sort of a make-believe name, if you will?
It does mean something in Dutch, but it's quite vague. When we were younger, you would go to camp with your elementary school sometimes, and at the last day of camp, there would be a Bonte Avond, and this would be an event where everyone at the camp would make up some sort of theater play or sing a song or do a dance.
Magic trick.
Yeah, magic trick. Oh, you did a magic trick.
No, I didn't do a magic trick.
Yeah, you would perform it in front of everyone. And that feeling feels very magical, like very nostalgic, even though it was also very scary to do as a kid. We really feel that feeling. And
it's kind of how it feels when we make games. We do all the voice acting ourselves. We take turns in performing, and it's scary and funny. Directly translated, I'm not sure what the word Bonte is, but it's like crazy or something like
chaotic.
But Avond is like evening.
Crazy evening.
Just from looking at your website, I do have to give kudos to your trailers are amazing. With all of the music, you sort of get really into the spirit of the game even without having tried it or anything. So I would be really excited to try it sometime soon. Mm. I'm actually editing one episode that we're talking with another person who is doing Semble, which is a sort of a LinkedIn for the games industry. And we talk a lot about marketing and stuff in that episode. And the way you have done it, somehow, especially those trailers, you get really emotionally hooked on it right away. So do you want to talk a little bit about how you do the trailers from start to finish? What is the process like?
Luckily, we often have a theme song to work with. We basically cut everything to that. We try to put as many exciting moments in it, of course, as all trailer makers do. But we did get some help with the trailers from our publisher, Crunchy Koalas, for our last game, Once Upon a Jester. But I think the emotional part really comes from the music, which is kind of like symbolic of how we make the games. Often we have the song or the vibe, and then we make the rest around it.
Interesting. I have like four game ideas I want to make, and they're all coming from me, like basically working out at the gym, listening to music. And it's just so weird that the music you listen to can inspire you to make an entire game, which is really cool. But I'm curious, you guys are programmers as well? Like, you do everything, music and the programming stuff as well? That's really cool. Traditionally speaking, musicians or artists, or whatever you want, like the left brain or whatever it is, and the programming stuff is usually the right brain. So that's pretty cool you guys got both brain halves.
Yeah, we often try to combine it, even like we're coding with the guitar in our hands, so to speak, doing it all at the same time. Even coding is pretty creative too. I'm honestly just getting into it. I'm not the best coder in this team. It's also creative, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I do feel that probably like an actual programmer would look at our code and be like, oh, this isn't...
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Just stop doing it.
I really feel that we sort of make a way around, I don't know, like a use easy code to make creative stuff or something.
Yeah, we want everything to be easy and quick and just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the art in the games? You guys do that as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically do everything.
Yeah.
How does that work to make art together? Like, I make games by myself and I always wanted to be a part of a team one day. But I always think, like, when you make art with someone else, it must look different. Or how can you sort of adapt to each other's style?
I think one thing that really helps is that we use a program called Adobe Animate. And yeah, you just don't have that many options in there. So it's like all vector art.
Ah.
Because we use vector art, the style is already very similar.
Okay.
But then I think Mark and I have a similar art style anyway.
Yeah, and taste and yeah, what we think is cool.
And then also I think we both do kind of everything. But then I think in terms of art, you focus more on the backgrounds, all the objects and everything. And I focus more on characters.
Yeah, I provide the world for the characters that you draw. Yeah.
Cool.
Do you want to talk a little bit how you got started in this to begin with? So I can imagine that you didn't start as musicians and game developers at once. So which one was first?
In a way for myself, game development started first because I used to make like tabletop games out of paper or write comic books.
This is also my backstory because we have the same backstory. So I'm not going to tell mine because it's just the same, so everything you say also is for me.
When we first met and we talked about this, we were like, what?
But that's did we my have the life. Same life?
Yeah.
Why did you have my life? Yeah,
just to confirm, I guess you're not twins then.
No.
That would be a twist.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I think game development started first, although it was never very serious. And then I started to make music as a teenager, and then now at a later age, I combined the two, and I think same for Mark.
Yeah. And we basically met at the same moment when we were like pivoting from music to game development again and trying to combine it. That's when we met and we knew each other's bands and stuff. We did some game jams and we suddenly had a style that really worked for us.
Cool. And how many games have you produced thus far? Was it two or three? Or...
We have two commercial games now, but before that we did, or in the last 3 years, I think we did like five or six game jams together.
Something like that, yeah.
And a game jam is where you make a game from scratch to finish in like 48 hours. But most of our ideas come from those weekends that we just cringe and make a game. So there are six games out there and then also two big games.
Yeah.
And what platforms can people find these?
It's all on PC, but then the last game is also on Nintendo Switch.
Cool. I saw on your website you have like a merch page as well, which is really cool. I'm a little bit curious how you guys set that up, just because it's quite interesting to know for maybe people listening who are thinking about that, myself included. And also, are you guys sort of considering making a physical CD as well, because you make some really goofy and fun music?
That would be really cool, like to have vinyl or a CD eventually. When we have the funds for that and it's like a smart thing to do or something, I think we will. But the merch store is pretty chill. We all do it through something called Spreadshirt. Spreadshirt. And basically we just upload our designs and we can select what they could be printed on. So we don't have like a warehouse with a million shirts lying around that we can't sell.
Are they being printed on demand? So if I buy one, it gets printed and sent.
Yeah. We were really like, we weren't sure what to go for when we were just setting it up. Like part of us wanted to have like limited shirts lying around in our rooms that we would send. Looking back, I'm glad that we didn't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Around the release, we got quite some orders and we would have been like busy with it for months to send everything. So this is nice. Yeah, it's pretty easy. Everyone can do it.
Cool. I mentioned on previous episodes that my games, they tend to get really praised or absolutely hated. there is nothing in between. And when I look at your games, I'm really curious, like, they're so cozy and cute, and with the goofy music, it's just really nice. So I'm curious to what kind of feedback you get on the games, and if you see reoccurring gamers that keeps playing each game, or fans, if you will.
Yeah, I think we are really in like the streamer communities online, like Twitch or YouTube streamers. It's very popular there, and a lot of people replay our games or play the newer games when they come out. But yeah, in terms of feedback, I think we're just like in a very niche kind of category with our games. But within that category, people really love it. We don't have that many negative reviews, which is very great. I think maybe one, but maybe that's also like feedback from ourselves that we want to do better in future games, is to make it less of a... To add more gameplay and excitement to...
Give more control to the player and less... control to us as like filmmakers or something.
There
are some people that suddenly just are like, well, this is really not my vibe and I hate it, and why are there so many songs I'm trying to play a game. But we're not gonna make them skippable, because we don't, you know, this is what we make,
and it's not about the gameplay.
Yeah, respect. I love that.
Nice. It's my brother's worst nightmare, I think.
We had an episode when we talked about story in games, and Odo's brother is mental. He just skips everything. And I said, like, man, that's such a... When you spent all that time making, for example, cutscenes, or in your case, music, you don't want player to be able to skip it. I would say, like, on second playthrough, fair enough if there's a skip button, but I personally never skip stuff because I want to see it, and I... respect that you don't allow that, because I would say there's a lot of people who argue that they should always be able to skip stuff, but I think that's no, you have to see what the artists have created and so on. But yeah, on second playthrough I can allow it, but cool that you don't cave into that crowd of people who think everything should be skippable.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And how long... So usually one thing that I think is sort of tricky to do for indie developer is actually releasing. Speaking for myself, not having released a game yet, life comes in the way. So how do you manage to not only write songs for the games, but also produce them and then release them on PC and on Switch?
Yeah. How did we even do it?
Yeah, honestly, the last game, Once Upon a Jester, which is the bigger game out of both games, it took way longer to make than Everybody Wham Wham. And I think the reason that we actually finished and released it is also because of the help with a publisher who really, they set deadlines. And if we have a deadline, we will make the deadline. If we don't have a deadline, we will work on it for years.
But then again, Everybody Wham Wham, I guess there was a deadline for your school back then, maybe. We made that game in 3 months, and then, I don't know.
Yeah, we can set deadlines for ourselves. That does work.
But some external deadlines are pretty chill. Sometimes that could also be, okay, we're just going to go to this event, and we'll show the game there.
Yeah,
events really help. So we need a demo, but we don't have anything yet, and then just work to make it happen. Sometimes you just have to do that stuff, and even if you don't get it 100%, you make so much progress in those times.
Yeah,
I can imagine that's gonna feel like the pressure to have a publisher who's investing in you and giving deadlines. I reckon that works. I tend to make tick box lists and just try to tick at least one per day or something like that. But yeah, that must, I reckon that works.
Yeah.
So who is your target audience for your games, would you say?
Ourselves. I think we don't really have a target audience. I think we have an audience that accidentally got targeted. We mostly just, if we're laughing about the jokes and we vibe on the music, I think that's always going to be the... I know it's kind of like a punk answer.
No, I love it.
It's basically how we started, right? We made the first games, Tower Guy and stuff,
yeah,
just to make ourselves laugh. It's almost like accidentally it became this thing.
I honestly think that's just the best way. And sometimes you get lucky that more people also enjoy your humor. And sometimes it's just very niche. I think we're both in the niche and we're lucky that it's big enough to be able to kind of do this. But it's not, I don't know. I don't want to cave in and get the weirdness out of it just to make it more... I don't feel like we really have a target audience that we create for, but we do see that there are a lot of younger people, especially the stream watching people.
Yeah.
But that's also just because in our last game, we had some streamers, Carl Jacobs, Foolish Gamers, and the musician Corpse Husband. Their audience kind of dripped into our fan base.
And also a lot of theater people, because our previous game was about theater improvisation. And I think we got a whole group from like a theater Reddit.
People who want to feel something, I guess, is a thing.
If you want to feel something,
go to bontavond.com.
Bontavond.
I think that's a great answer. I think I mentioned it, Odo, in some past episodes with my own games as well, that I'm not sure if I'm trying to cater to anyone in particular. I just make the kind of games that I would think is fun to play. For example, like the Red Colony games, it's just this 2D horror, ecchi, really ridiculous story in a way, sort of anime inspired. But I would love to play that kind of game, but it's not out there, so I just make it myself. And I think that's the best way to do it. And also, when you're indie, you're sort of privileged enough to be able to do that. Especially if, let's say you have another job, so you don't have to think too much about it selling or anything like that. You can just do whatever your heart content, and then if people like it, they like it, and that's just a bonus. So I think that's a great answer, and I'm happy to hear that you guys do that. It's cool.
Something that I also think is kind of interesting is that you do your own voice acting. So usually with many indie games, unfortunately, they never have any voice acting. I think that just, even if you would record it on your phone, like on the subway, that would be better than just not having any voice at all, because just reading is, that doesn't really add to the emotional part of it the same as you would with voice acting. So would you say that takes a lot of time and effort, or is that something that's just one and done when you have written the script, or what would you say?
Yeah, it for sure takes a lot of time and effort, but it's also
the best part.
Yeah, it's the best part. Like we love the voice acting, and we love to collaborate with people on voice acting, but also just to do as many voices as possible ourselves.
Yeah, when we put in the voice acting, the game suddenly comes alive so much. And it's like, we're not that good at voice acting, but we have our own style, I guess. And also like Dutch accents. It's all very weird, but I think I really like that. It feels really personal, and we leave in takes of us laughing sometimes. I don't know, it's almost like as if you hear us making the game or something, and I feel like that's a real Bontavond thing.
It becomes very fourth wall, like you're a part of almost like making that game.
Cool. I wonder, like, I'm a huge fan of, what would you call it, comedic music. Maybe you guys have seen the show called Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah.
As I was writing my questions down, I'm trying to come up with anything else that I like, this sort of comedic music, and I couldn't come up with anything else. I'm sure there are a lot of things out there, or maybe it isn't, which leads me to my questions. Like, do you guys freelance to other studios or for other creators with your sort of unique music and the goofiness of the lyrics and all that stuff? Like, have you written for anyone else before? Or is it always for your own games?
Not as Bontavond, not together at least, but like individually. Like you did that sometimes.
But we've never done like the Bontavond thing where it's kind of like comedy, but also heartfelt for other. Yeah. But you know, if the price is right, you can email us at Bontavond Studios.
Perfect. So, for the future, what are you doing now? Are you working on a game currently, or are you in between projects?
Yeah, we're working on our third big game. I'm actually very excited about it.
Can you tell us anything, or is it still a secret?
No, it's not a secret, but I'm not sure what I can really tell about it. It involves a bear dressed as a frog, and they are called Bonnie Bear. But people call them Bon Iber.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah.
You would think it would be the other way around, I guess.
we want to like have a bit more gameplay in this game. Basically, there's a lot of frogs involved. It's going to be great, but it's still early stages, I guess.
What software are you using to develop it?
Game Maker Studio 2, and then we animate in Adobe Animate.
Okay.
They're both programs that have limits. We reach those limits often, but I guess that also keeps our ambitions kind of in check, that we don't overdo everything and are like working on one grass animation for years or something, you know? Like, we try to keep it simple, and these programs really help us. They force us to keep it simple and just make the core idea, and that's the most important thing. So
fast. Like, I think especially Game Maker Studio is just a very nice prototyping. Like, you can get something on a screen very quickly, and for us that process is perfect. When we come up with a joke, we make it that same day. Yeah. We did that a lot with our previous games, like 2 a.m. suddenly thinking of a joke and then putting it in the game like 1 hour later already.
Yeah, we don't have to like go over a joke 10 times before we make it. We just want to see it. So we prototype it, and then if it's funny, we leave it in. So that's why everything is like, so like just first ideas. So Game Maker.
Very cool. And I think you're the first guest that don't use Unity or Unreal, actually.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to check that game engine out. I haven't tried it at all, actually.
No, I recommend it.
I'm curious to the work setup. Do you guys work from home? I mean, do you have another job on the side, or do you live together and work together? And
we actually have a studio that we're in right now since a few months, and this is my main job. Keon also works at the bar some evenings.
Yeah, I work at a bar one evening every week, which is also like a rehearsal studio. But yeah, the previous games we all made from home and from the library. And now we finally have a place of our own. That's pretty cool.
Cool. That's awesome.
And would you say that is due to having a publisher or just from sales alone?
I think it's also because we don't just make the games, but we see Bonte Avond as this bigger thing where we also sell merchandise, and we were Twitch streamers for a while where we would improvise music on a Twitch stream. So it's all these things together that sort of make it doable.
The characters could have a life outside of the games because they're pretty recognizable.
And the music alone is being streamed a lot on Spotify and stuff.
Yeah, we try to be a bit more than just a game studio.
Cool. I know this might be difficult with a lot of games, but would you say that you have a specified genre for the game that you're working on now or your previous game, or is it sort of a gray area?
It's always a gray area because we try to come up with a totally unique concept. Like with the previous games, like theater improvisation, we didn't really come up with a game that already did that, or making snowmen at a festival. But now it is still like a very hard to explain concept, but it's kind of a combination of a deck builder and Pokemon and chess, and then also
checkers.
Yeah. But then also it has the whole story and like cartoon kind of vibe to it, and music, and
it's a gray area.
It's a gray area. Yeah, so back to your question, yes.
Yes, indeed. Perfect. And how long do you think that it will be before it's out, or how big of a project is it?
It's going to definitely take this year. Our planning right now is to like somewhere next year to release it. Yeah.
Yeah, we should really just do that and not make it too big.
No, for sure. I want to have it finished by December or something.
It's hard to keep things small sometimes, but we really have to, because I don't want to work on this for 3 years.
No, for sure.
That's something I notice myself when I work on games. There's almost like a fuse until you just grow sick and tired of what you're working on. And that's something I also keep in mind, like, oh man, this is getting too big. If I gonna do this game, it's probably gonna take 3 years, and I don't think I have it in me, which is a problem being a creative person, I suppose, because you kind of wanna move on to something else. Did you guys find that difficult with the previous games to sort of stick to? Or also, did you have to cut out ideas from the previous games to sort of keep it simple and get it out of the door?
Yeah, with our last game, we did cut out quite a lot. A lot of very funny jokes that we hopefully one day find energy to put in anyway. Mm. But probably not.
Yeah, the thing is, like, coming up with ideas for games is so fun. And like, you can go on forever and you can feel really hyped about it. I've noticed this right now too. But then if you look at the reality, each idea just adds like months of work. A lot of really cool things that I wish would be in the game just didn't make it. So there's always like a form of grief while making games. But that's just part of it. I'd rather have a finished game than half a game with a lot of cool ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one-liner.
Yeah, you can put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, we should put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, well, you have a merch store, so why not?
Yeah, we could just make it and upload it right now.
Now that you guys have a studio, you guys look quite young. Do you have families or anything? Like, how many hours a day do you get to squeeze into the projects you're working on? And I ask because since I had a child, it's just like, if I get in 8 hours, I'm happy. But before that, I could just work from the time I woke up to bedtime.
Yeah, last summer, it was almost a joke with our friends that we would just be working on the game all the time while they were
at the beach.
At the beach.
Having lives. We were always together working on Once Upon a Jester every day. We are trying to be a bit more healthy about the whole thing, but I also know when we get a deadline, we will be here until the nighttime and then in the morning again. But right now, especially, we kind of have like, we're living the single life. We go on some dates sometimes, but we don't have a family. We are in a position of working on this a lot.
Nice.
Yeah. But I do hope to to get a family. Get some love in my life someday.
That's the true, the core of our emotion.
The grass is always greener on the other side. Trust me.
That's true. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Difficult to have it all, I suppose. So what do you see as the future for your studio? So imagine that you make all of the games that you want to make and you have all of the resources you want to and so on. Do you want to grow the studio to more people or do you want to just remain like a two-party studio, or what's your thoughts?
We want to eventually
I'm really curious what you're going to say.
We want to organize a festival in the forest and people can come and camp and there will be performances, improvised performances. Yeah. And as a studio, I don't know, like we really like it with just the two of us right now, but we do work with other people, probably like freelance, and we love working with other people, collaborations and everything. Yeah. So
I could see some things that if we don't have to do that anymore ourselves, it would be nice. Like a lot of animations are just kind of like kind of how I always say this, but kind of like how South Park works. Like they just, they're basically the two guys and then they have a team of the people that they work with for ideas and stuff, but they still write everything and they're still very much in control, but they don't animate every single thing. To me, that would be kind of like a cool future, but then I could also see us just keeping it the two of us because we don't want to be like bosses and have employees or something. So I don't know.
You guys mentioned before some camp when you were kids with theater. It all sounds very tree huggy and hippie. So it's fun to see that sort of stuff coming into the gaming industry. And here you are making games. That would almost be the last two things you want to put together, like some tree hugging hippie making electronic video games, but here we are. So that's really cool. Are you guys doing theater stuff like outside as well? Or is that something you guys did or was that just as kids? I get a feeling that you guys are a bit, you know, theater people.
We don't really do something with theater, but we are artists, like musicians also next to Bontafon, so we perform live on stage music, sometimes. Yeah, live music.
Oh, cool.
I would almost say like that's more important. It's a bigger part of us, like the band scene and the indie band music scene than theater. I think we're not extroverts enough to be theater people.
I can only act as a 2D character drawn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you guys do performances in terms of like music in bars, in that bar you're working at, or?
I have performed there as well, I don't know, anywhere, venues,
stadiums.
Stadium, nice.
Yeah, stadiums. I play Wembley Stadium a lot.
Yeah, that's nice. Very, it's a cozy place.
Oh, that's so cool though, like performing as well.
So do you perform as the same name, or do you have different stage names, so to speak?
Yeah, different bands. Like we are actually not in a band together. Although we were thinking about maybe sometimes performing as Bonte Avond, doing those songs. But yeah, you are Mark Lohmann.
Oh yeah, also, I just started, like, I had a band called Moon Moon Moon, which had English songs, but now I started a Dutch project with my own name. Yeah, and you were also in a band though.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to say the name.
I was in Sherman Oaks, and I am also making music under Birthday Worm.
Oh yeah.
Man, I wonder where you find all the time for this. It sounds so...
Yeah.
But I guess that's the single life.
It's the single life, man. And just being... Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, our friends always say that we work too hard. But to me, like, being an artist is just like... It's not work. It's just breathing, you know?
I would do this anyway in my free time.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens to become a job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, so. Yeah.
That made me think of another question. Like, I noticed since I started developing games that I don't play as much as I used to. Do you guys feel the same, or?
I do.
Yes.
Can you balance gaming and creating?
I can't game anymore. I don't like it.
I have no attention span for games.
I don't know what it is.
Did you guys game before you started making games, though?
Yeah, especially as a child, I gamed a lot. I kind of lost it during my teenage years, actually.
Yeah, same. But there are some games that we do like Life is Strange.
Yeah. Again, games that make me feel more than just shooting the bad guys or something.
Yeah.
Like Edith Finch, like more artsy games, I guess.
So would you say that making games has anything to do with that? Like sort of seeing the smoke and mirrors, or is it just, you know, growing up or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's just life at this point, less time for games, or maybe just less interest even.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, why we don't like it anymore. Is it that we work on it, or is it
me,
just
it's stressful? Like, I feel stress when
I feel empty and sad.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about the games, Mark. No.
So, such a tragic comment.
But the stress part there, I recognize myself, and I wonder, maybe you agree, like, when I play games, what I think is, shit, I should work on my game instead of just sitting here playing a game. And that sort of stresses me out. Do you think that could have anything to do with it? Or is it just stress because it's stressful?
No, or myself at least, I don't have that. I don't feel the pressure to have to work on games when I play games. It's just that I think I'd rather watch a movie.
Yeah.
Or something.
I like movies more.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it's just, yeah. It's more about the feeling.
If I can come with that recommendation, if you haven't tried it, I think it's geared more maybe towards couples, but It Takes Two is a game that is...
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very good. I mean, regardless, I played it with my brother as well a little bit. It's a incredibly fascinating game, and it's sort of... takes all of the stress out of gaming and just collaboration. It's in its DNA. It's a very... I won't spoil it if you haven't played it, but I highly recommend it. It's a very good game to just pick up and play 5 minutes here and there, and it doesn't have to be like a 1 hour sitting or more.
Nice.
I think you played it.
Yeah, I played it for a while, but I was going through a breakup back then, and it reminded me a lot of it, and it made me sad.
Damn it.
Spiraling.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I do remember that I actually was really impressed by it. Like, it had a lot of, like, the gameplay constantly changed and was unique and innovative and fun.
But like, gaming with someone else is it something... completely different feeling. I can do that for hours with someone.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It's just gaming alone is where the depression kicks in.
Yeah, then it's the single life that you really feel.
Yeah, then you feel very single.
Well, there's the other side of that green grass, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't game because I'm single.
That's ridiculous.
Conclusion.
So one thing, something that's sort of lacking, speaking of this topic, is couch co-ops. I think that was a lot more common back in the days. I think Resident Evil 5 is also one that I've played for probably hundreds of hours because it's just such good co-op and great replay value. So would you think anything about making multiplayer games, or is it more like story-driven narrative single player, or what's your take on that?
We fantasize a lot actually about making our games, not like make a multiplayer game, but that it has a couch co-op option, because I feel like everybody, when I'm making a snowman, that would be so cool if that could be split screen and you could like battle against one another. Same for Once Upon a Jester. We want to that one player plays Sok and the other one plays Jester. Sok is the friend of the main character who performs theater with you, and that you then improvise your theater show with two people. That would be great. And with this new game, it actually has a lot of co-op potential.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We just haven't, technically, we haven't had time to do it, but we are definitely...
It's not really fun to figure it out because it's really technical.
No, yeah. It's like... But we do want to do it, and maybe
it would be worth it.
Maybe there's an update one day.
And of course, a Bonte Avond party game in the future.
Yeah.
With all our characters.
Yeah.
We do want to do that.
Cool. So would that be like Smash Bros or more?
Everything.
It will be everything.
It will be everything. No, it's
forget what you know.
I don't even know what it's exactly going to be, but it feels like several games in one, and you can just choose your favorite character or something.
The forest games.
Yeah. And then like there's also voice acting and like,
yeah, for sure,
unskippable cutscenes.
Oh yeah.
That you have to sit through.
You will barely play.
Yeah, you're just sitting together on the couch waiting for the song to end. Yeah.
So yeah. Coming back to, we rather watch a movie than play a game.
Yeah. It's gonna be like that. I think Penn and Teller did a game back in the day, Desert Bus, which is you drive a bus for 8 hours from one city to the next, and the only thing you do is that you have to keep the bus straight on the road because it naturally diverts to the left and right. So if you just leave it, you will fail, and when you fail, a towing truck will just carry you back for as long as you have played thus far, and it takes 8 hours to complete the whole game, I think. Something like that.
Jesus, I love it. That's awesome.
Maybe you can make a game where you couch co-op, so you have these two Sox character you mentioned sitting in a couch, and then they're just watching a movie, and that movie is your game.
Yeah.
Genius. It's genius.
And you can, like, the only thing you can do is, like, turn the volume up or down in the game.
Yeah.
You can also turn it off, and then the game ends.
Yeah.
Player one can go to bed if you find the movie boring.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I was thinking about something.
Speaking of those jokes, I can do one while Rune is thinking what to say next. So I was thinking with my brother, when we do release our first game, whichever one it's gonna be, since we're just two people, the credits would just be something like programmer, me, and graphics, the other guy. But we should copy the credits from like Assassin's Creed or something, where you have like half an hour of stuff and, you know, the Taiwan section and the catering guys and, and we just randomize which one is which in all of the positions.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
That would be really fun. And then you get a trophy if you sit through the whole thing for some reason.
That's awesome. I love this.
Do you guys, now you don't release on PlayStation or Xbox, so you don't have trophies, or do you have achievements on Steam?
We have Steve achievements.
Steve
achievements.
Steve achievements. Oh, that's...
What is that?
Our friend Steve has like a notebook, and then he just checks them.
Sorry, this is too funny. Steve's, this has to be a character now. Yeah. Steve achievement.
Is there a phone number to the Steve guy so I can call him and check what?
Yeah, you have to call him if you got them.
Yeah, it's a Dutch guy sitting somewhere in Amsterdam, and you get just phone calls all day long from people like, can you check off my achievement, Steve?
Yeah.
Hello, Steve.
Steve achievement.
Oh man, that's great. But we have Steam achievements, yeah.
GOG as well. GOG, Steam. Yeah. We want to do an Xbox thing, maybe.
Yeah, we're thinking about that, definitely.
Cool. I had my question before was, when you do the voice acting stuff, do you have a specific software for that, and how do you implement them to the game? Is that like, because I had my second Red Colony game was voice acted by professionals here in Japan, and then I just got a batch of files, and it was all like categorized who said what, and they had like, when I exported those files into my game, I could simply just like drag and drop them to the dialogues where they were supposed to be and so on. So it was quite simple. And when I did that, I thought about, I wonder how they did the voice acting stuff to get each line having its specific audio file. Or do you guys just have like one big audio file and you pop it in the game? Can you sort of explain how you do the voice acting, how you record it, and how you implement it to the game?
Yeah, in our previous games, every line is a single file. So there was a lot of work to cut that and put it in.
We work with a text file, right?
Yeah, we have like one big Excel sheet, and then we have every line in there, and then we write the... Whoa, a bird.
Big bird.
There was a bird here just now. Yeah, we...
There's like a text file with all the dialogue, and then the file name of the dialogue, like Soak Jester, Conversation 1, Punt yeah. Wave. We could just write it in there, and Game Maker, Keon made something that Game Maker then reads that file and connects to both those things, so it gets triggered in the right moment. So that's pretty chill. But we do have to cut everything, so we record in one go the whole conversation. We're just both with a mic in front of us.
Yeah, a lot of improvisation in there, and then we choose the best takes and the funniest ones. We work with Ableton, but also Logic Pro. We did that all from home, so we made like a sort of voice acting booth out of cushions and blankets.
And a couch.
On the couch, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
It would be so much fun if your friends who were at the beach wondering where the hell you guys are, they come to your apartment and you're sitting there under a couch and blankets and pillows and talking to each other. Oh, what the fuck are they doing?
That's literally what it looked like. Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly that.
Don't you have a life?
Yeah. And it was also warm in my room.
It was so warm.
I didn't have any air conditioning, and there was the sun on the window all the time. We were just, you can imagine us like very sweaty doing voice acting under blankets in the summer.
It was really,
it didn't feel great, but it was
there's a lot of pain in that game.
Yeah, you can hear the pain in the voice acting if you listen closely. Yeah.
So for those who are new to voice acting and so on, do you have any tips for how to set up sort of a do-it-yourself recording studio for voice acting, or what should you think about to make voice acting better if you can?
A condenser mic is a big improvement for voice acting compared to like a dynamic microphone.
So what is the difference for a layman like myself?
Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that sure, to be honest, what the exact difference is, except for that the one...
It's more sensitive, right?
Yeah, it's a lot more sensitive. It requires more voltage. I don't know. Like, it's...
Is it even better?
It could have a wider range and stuff.
I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, it's just that you can... have a bit more distance from the microphone, and
if you
voice act very closely to it, it sounds very unnatural, because unless you have like a first person camera game something.
But with our view, it's weird if it's like too close mic. And also we take out a lot of bass if we really want to get technical, like in the EQ.
We
take bass out of all the sound effects and voice acting, just because
you don't want to hear it in front of your face. Like you want to hear it in the distance, because that's where the characters are.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that mic also, because it picks you up from a distance, because when you get into voice acting, it's difficult to stand still. Like you want to shake your face or whatever. So maybe that's a good thing.
True. Yeah.
That's why we compress everything.
Yeah, we compress everything. Yeah.
So there's not too much difference, like if you move your head.
Cool.
Very cool. We're starting to get close to 1 hour, but do you want to squeeze in any more questions before?
I'm out of questions, man.
Well, it's been a really, really interesting episode. And before we end it, do you want to plug anything or promote anything or anything you want to say to our audience?
We have social media, I guess, Bonte Avond, and we have a newsletter, and we're working on our next game. If you want to follow that, check out any of the socials or the newsletter, I guess.
And Once Upon a Jester is available on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, that's still a thing we were trying to sell. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
It's about theater.
It's about theater, yeah. It has a little sock in it. It has a jester. It's fun.
Yeah.
Good. And does your next game have a name yet, or is it still under production?
No. No, we have a placeholder name, but we don't even want to say it because then it becomes the name.
Yeah, like we don't have a name. It's Project 3.
Yeah, it's the third project.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it becomes Untitled Goose Game, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and you're most welcome back if you want to give more details or updates further along the road. Thank you, Rune, for doing a fantastic intro and for being my co-host as always.
Hi.
And thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.